Read the questions.
Please welcome Jordan Peterson, professor. Great pleasure to meet you.
I love what you just said, that in order to be able to think, you have to risk being offensive. And that went viral. That made you very famous. Why do you think that sparked such a reaction?
Well, because I think that what I was saying was self-evidently true, but not expressed very well very often. I mean, look, most of the time when you're discussing something that needs to be discussed, everybody's actually rather upset about it. You know, if you're actually talking about something important, right? Because why talk otherwise, unless you're just shooting the breeze? But if there's an issue at hand that has to be discussed, then people are already upset and they have different viewpoints. And the offensiveness in some sense is built into that. And you know that because if you have a family, if you have a wife, if you have an intimate relationship, and you're discussing something that's difficult, the probability that you're not going to offend each other if you're actually having the conversation is zero. And so you don't have to think unless you have a problem. And if you have a problem, then when you think, you're going to offend people. And so what, are we not going to think? That seems like a bad idea.
So I was always asked, what is your definition of political correctness? And I had to come up with one. I said, it's the elevation of sensitivity over truth.
It's more like the elevation of moral posturing about sensitivity over truth. It's even worse.
Yeah. So where did it come from? How did we get to this place where we're so fragile, the safe space people?
Oh, I think that you can pretty much blame it on the universities. I think that they've pursued, especially in the humanities and in the social sciences as well, they've pursued a policy of a radical leftist policy with an overlay of postmodernism, which is kind of a literary criticism approach that's produced all of this. As far as I can tell, I think you can lay a lot of it at the feet of faculties like the faculties of education. There was an article in the Chronicle of Higher Education this week that just devastated the faculties of education, taking them to task for low academic standards and for possession by ideology and for basically indoctrinating people in a cult-like manner and playing identity politics and group identity.
And no free speech.
Exactly. Where it's manifesting itself in a particularly appalling manner is in the increasing unwillingness of comedians, for example, to go on university campuses to be funny. And when comedians start...
I'm one of them.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah. I call these people emotional hemophiliacs. You know, it's like the least little thing will make them start to bleed. But it makes me... Because their answer is not to go into a room full of sharp objects. The answer is to make all of us wear bubble wrap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So nothing we ever do makes them have a moment of discomfort.
Well,
very narcissistic.
Well, there's also this idea that's promoted by the people who are protecting those who are easily offended, that the way that you make people resilient is by exposing them to things that they're afraid of and that make them uncomfortable voluntarily, but you use exposure.
Right.
And it's a... And so, like, if you over-coddle people, if you protect them from everything that's sharp, you make them dull and stupid, and it's a really bad idea.
There's so you do know America.
It's good.
Now, listen again.
I love what you just said, that in order to be able to think, you have to risk being offensive. And that went viral. That made you very famous. Why do you think that sparked such a reaction?
Well, because I think that what I was saying was self-evidently true, but not expressed very well very often. I mean, look, most of the time when you're discussing something that needs to be discussed, everybody's actually rather upset about it. You know, if you're actually talking right. about something
sure.
important, right? Because why talk otherwise, unless you're just shooting the breeze? But if there's an issue at hand that has to be discussed, then people are already upset, and they have different viewpoints, and the offensiveness, in some sense, is built into that. And you know that, because if you have a family, if you have a wife, if you have an intimate relationship, and you're discussing something that's difficult, the probability that you're not going to offend each other if you're actually having the conversation is zero. And so you don't have to think unless you have a problem. And if you have a problem, then when you think, you're going to offend people. And so what, are we not going to think? That seems like a bad idea.
So I was always asked, what is your definition of political correctness? And I had to come up with one. I said, it's the elevation of sensitivity over truth.
It's more like the elevation of moral posturing about sensitivity over truth. It's even worse.
Yeah. So where did it come from? How did we get to this place where we're so fragile, the safe space people?
Oh, I think that you can pretty much blame it on the universities. I think that they've pursued, especially in the humanities and in the social sciences as well, they've pursued a radical leftist policy with an overlay of postmodernism, which is kind of a literary criticism approach. That's produced all of this, as far as I can tell. I think you can lay a lot of it at the feet of faculties like the faculties of education. There was an article in the Chronicle of Higher Education this week that just devastated the faculties of education, taking them to task for low academic standards and for possession by ideology and for basically indoctrinating people in a cult-like manner and playing identity politics and group identity.
And no free speech.
Exactly. Where it's manifesting itself in a particularly appalling manner is in the increasing unwillingness of comedians, for example, to go on university campuses to be funny. And when comedians start...
I'm one of them.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah. I call these people emotional hemophiliacs. You know, it's like the least little thing will make them start to bleed. But it makes me... Because their answer... is not to go into a room full of sharp objects. Mm-hmm. The answer is to make all of us wear bubble wrap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So nothing we ever do makes them have a moment of discomfort.
Well, there's also
very narcissistic.
Well, there's also this idea that's promoted by the people who are protecting those who are easily offended, that the way that you make people resilient is by exposing them to things that they're afraid of and that make them uncomfortable voluntarily, but you use exposure.
Right.
And it's a... And so, like, if you over-coddle people, if you protect them from everything that's sharp, you make them dull and stupid, and it's a really bad idea.
There's so you do know America.
It's good.
That is the end of part 3.